Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about our featured work of literature. What's the title of the book we're talking about?
The Girl with the Louding Voice.
The Girl with the Louding Voice, but the title of our article is The Girl Who Refused Silence, which I think is probably similar in meaning. That word louding doesn't really exist in English, or at least I've never heard of it before.
No.
I guess it just means someone who has a voice, and she wants her voice to be heard, and she wants to have some educational opportunities, but she's facing some really terrible obstacles, isn't she?
She really is. I think it's interesting that as an author, guys, obviously you can make up words and use grammar that maybe isn't actually correct, 100% correct. But if you're an author and you're writing, hey, you can do those sorts of things. So if you like writing, don't fear using things that you've never seen before. Anyway, it's kind of fun because both of these titles are a little weird to us. The Girl Who Refused Silence was also weird. We explained that in day one. Let's talk about her situation, though. She's 14. She has great plans to get an education so that she can determine her own future. But her mother dies and her family's so in debt that her father sells her to an older man with two wives. She's going to be wife number three. And Marufu, the husband, is really awful. And he beats her. He assaults her. He wants a son. He hasn't gotten a son from either wife. And so she's in a really awful household where the first wife is mean to her and torments her. And the second wife that she really kind of liked, she was gentle and tried to comfort Aduni when things got really bad. She passes away in childbirth, and at that point, Aduni's had enough, and she flees. Then she hooks up with a local agent who she thinks is going to get her some safe work and a chance to learn, but he's a trafficker, and he sells Aduni into housework. So she's laboring for a woman called Big Madam. The working hours are long. She's in a mansion, and Big Madam abuses her, too, physically and mentally. And Big Daddy, Big Madam's husband, tries to rape her and says, well, if you give me sex, I'll protect you from all those beatings. But the good thing about this house is it's got a room full of books, a study full of books, and it gives her a chance to learn some new words and facts. And the cook there, who is also a nice guy, he tells Aduni about a scholarship for female domestic workers, and he urges her to apply and see if it can change her life.
Okay, so let's find out what happens next in our featured work of literature for this month. Let's listen to our summary now in our first part of our lesson, and we'll be right back to break it down for you.
The Girl Who Refused Silence. At one neighborhood wives' gathering hosted by Big Madam, Aduni encounters Miss Tia. Unlike Big Madam and the other women, Miss Tia is genuine and indifferent to status. She looks after Aduni, agrees to be her scholarship referee, and offers English lessons to strengthen her application. The real barrier is Big Madam's consent to let Aduni leave if she wins the scholarship. A rumor soon alters everything. Soon after arriving at the house, Aduni hears that Rebecca, a former maid, has vanished. People claim she ran away with a boyfriend, and no one wants to discuss her, least of all Big Madam. Rebecca's disappearance grips Aduni, and she resolves to uncover the truth.
Okay, so remember, Aduni is living with Big Madam now. It's a big mansion. Big Madam is pretty mean to Aduni. And at one neighborhood wives' gathering hosted by Big Madam, Aduni encounters Ms. Tia. Okay, so Big Madam organizes this gathering for wives in the neighborhood. Okay, a gathering is just when people get together for whatever purpose. You might have a family gathering, for example. It could be a family reunion or something like that. So here they have a wives' gathering or a wives' meeting. A gathering is less formal. They just get together to chat and have fun, maybe play games or whatever. And it's hosted by Big Madam, so maybe she's not so bad after all. But at that gathering, Aduni encounters, or she meets, Ms. Tia. T is kind of confusing for me because that means auntie in Spanish, but I suppose in Nigeria it has a different meaning or it's just a name.
Yeah. So Miss Tia is genuine and indifferent to status. She doesn't care if you're a domestic worker or if you're a billionaire. She treats people as she finds them, and she looks after Aduni. Now, did we talk about this word indifferent? If you're indifferent to someone, it just means you don't care about them, or maybe about a subject. If you're indifferent to politics, you don't really care about politics, or you're indifferent to the news, you don't really care. You just live in your life. You're not interested. You're unconcerned. Well, Ms. Tia is a good person, it sounds like. She's genuine. She's real. And she doesn't care about your status. And she likes Aduni. I think a lot of people who are good-hearted people seem to like Aduni. I think they see in her another good heart. And she agrees to be Aduni's scholarship referee. Now, this was a phrase I was telling Tom I'd never seen before in my life. This isn't what we say in America. But a scholarship referee is someone who provides a letter of recommendation for a scholarship application, or someone that can vouch for your character and your skills, your achievements. You know, when you apply to get into university, we need one of those, or we need several letters of recommendation, but we don't call them our scholarship referees.
Right. Usually a referee just talks about somebody in a sports match. They kind of keep an eye on the players to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They might call fouls, for example. They'll blow their whistle and stuff like that. But here it's just somebody who can recommend Aduni, the referee here. And this particular person offers English lessons to strengthen her application. Okay, so again, this is Tia here. And she's serving as her scholarship referee. And again, she offers those English lessons. Okay, so if you improve your English in Nigeria, you probably have a better chance of getting a good job. And yes, that can strengthen your application. That, of course, is a form that you fill out and asking permission to be accepted into a university or something like that. And if you can demonstrate good language skills, hey, it's more likely that they'll accept you. So yeah, English skills would strengthen her application. She would be more likely to be accepted.
I was just learning, Tom, that this scholarship referee is used sometimes in the UK, but definitely in Nigeria. Okay. And some parts of Africa, Commonwealth countries. But we don't use it in America. We just talk about letters of recommendation, which are really important if you're applying for something. Of course, the real barrier or block or problem for her getting in and getting her application to be accepted is Big Madam's consent, her approval, her agreement to let Aduni leave if she wins a scholarship. So she still has to get by Big Madam, even if she gets her application in and Miss Tia agrees to be her scholarship referee.
I can't imagine Big Madam being in favor of that. Of course, she bought Aduni from a trafficker, so she's there to work, to do domestic chores and things like that. But that's why we're describing this as a barrier, because yeah. That's something that's going to get in the way. I don't imagine Big Madam is going to like this idea, but they need her consent, her permission to let her leave if she gets the scholarship. And a rumor soon alters everything. Okay, so here we have another plot twist. Something else is happening here. We've got a rumor that's information that's going around, but we don't really know if it's true or not. Soon after arriving at the house, Aduni hears that Rebecca, a former maid, has vanished. Okay, so this is something that happened after she got to this mansion. She heard about someone called Rebecca, who used to be a maid there, a domestic servant. She's disappeared, she's vanished, and nobody knows where she went or why she disappeared.
Well, part of the rumor is that people say she ran away with a boyfriend, and no one wants to discuss her, least of all Big Madam, which means of all the people who don't want to talk about Rebecca, Big Madam is the one who doesn't want to talk about her at all. So that makes you kind of suspicious of Big Madam. Did Big Madam have something to do with Rebecca's disappearance? So Rebecca's disappearance, it says, grips Aduni, and she resolves to uncover the truth. Now, we use grip to talk about holding something very tightly in your hand, but we also use it, guys, just so you know, in a figurative way that means you're holding the interest of someone. So, for example, maybe you're reading a book and the story of the novel is really gripping your interest. So it can grip the reader. This is gripping Aduni because she's also a domestic servant and she wonders if she might disappear one day as well. Now, if you resolve to uncover the truth, what does that mean, Tom?
That means you kind of promise to yourself or to others that you're going to do something about this particular situation. So yet to resolve just means to find a solution to a problem, and you really want to solve the problem, and she wants to uncover the truth of this particular situation. And so, again, she wants to figure out what happened to Rebecca because it grips her. She's maybe obsessed with this particular case. So, gee, what happened to Rebecca? I'd really like to know what happened to her because, hey, it might affect Aduni as well. She might disappear for some reason or whatever. And also, she probably wonders whatever happened to Rebecca and maybe wants to become friends with her. Who knows? But that's where we leave off right now. We're going to continue with our summary in just a couple of seconds. But let's take a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. 我是 Patrick 老师。这个单元是文学赏析。今天讲解的是 The Girl Who Refused Silence。女主角 Aduni 年纪小小的，在母亲过世以后被爸爸卖给别人当老婆，好不容易脱离了婚姻，又被中介骗去当家务工，被这些富有的人剥削。还好他遇到贵人 Ms. T 啊，那最后呢，终于有机会拿到奖学金继续求学。好，那我们一起来看学习重点吧，请同学看到第一段的第二个句子。好，这里有一个形容词 indifferent， 一般而言 indifferent 代表是缺乏兴趣、漠不关心、无动于衷。如果后面是和道德、情感或责任相关的时候呢，通常是比较负面的，等于是冷漠或者麻木不仁嘛。比方说 ,the government seemed indifferent to the suffering of the poor.政府呢好像对穷人的痛苦漠不关心。可是在这里哦，因为它后面接的是 status, 那所以呢这个 status 代表的就是社会阶级、财富、虚荣心。那 Ms. Tia is indifferent to status, 就表示说呢这个 Ms. Tia 不会用贫富社会阶级呢给别人差别待遇。那 indifferent 的态度在这边呢反而算是正面的，表示对身份地位无动于衷，淡泊名利。再来请看到第三句，这个 Ms. Tia looks after Aduni。 好，这里的 looks after 不是爸妈保姆那种照顾小孩的日常基本照料，在 Ms. Tia 还有 Aduni 的情境当中，looks after 呢是比较像我们说关照提携什么人的意思。比方说老师给大家个例句，My boss particularly looks after newcomers in the office. 难免哦，公司都会有新进人员嘛。那我们的老板呢，算是个很好的人，他对新进的员工呢，会特别的照顾。好，那再来，请同学看到第四个句子的 barrier。这边的 barrier 并不是指哦，真正的障碍物，所指的就是等于 Aduni 要克服的困难。他要克服的困难是什么 ？Big Madam 根本不可能同意让他呢，拿到奖学金就去念书嘛。好 ,consent, 所指的就是同意。再来请同学呢看到第二段的第三个句子。好啦，那大家发现说这个另外一个帮佣 Rebecca 呢不见了，可是呢却没有人愿意去谈这件事情。请看第三个句子。最不愿意去谈的呢就是 least of all, Big Madam。好，那这边讲到说另外一名家务工哦所发生的事情。没有想到哦，变成了 Aduni 的转机啦。那我们看到第四个句子，可是啊，这个家务工消失这件事情 ，Rebecca's disappearance 怎么样呢 ？Grips Aduni， 这里的 grips 不是字面上的抓住，是一种譬喻性的用法，所指的就是我们人的情感啊，或者注意力啊，都被他掌控或牵制住了。也就是说呢 ,Aduni 的情绪受到了他的算是 Rebecca 消失的影响。
We're gonna take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. This is day two of our literature unit, and we're still talking about the plot. And this particular lesson starts at one neighborhood wives gathering that's hosted by Big Madam, who Aduni works for, of course, and she encounters a new person. Her name is Miss Tia, and we like Miss Tia. Unlike Big Madam and the other women, Miss Tia is really a nice person. She's genuine. She's not fake. She doesn't act like she's cooler than everybody else. And she's actually indifferent to status, meaning she doesn't care whether you're a wealthy person or high on the social ladder, I guess. She doesn't care. She treats everyone well. She looks after Aduni and agrees to be what they call a scholarship referee, meaning she is going to help Aduni apply for that scholarship so she can go to school that Kofi, the cook, had told her about. And if you're the scholarship referee, you're someone who says, I know this person. I think they're excellent. They're very bright. I think they would do well. And just vouches for her, you know, gives her own guarantee that Aduni would do well if she got the scholarship and started studying. But the real barrier, we find out, the obstacle to all of this is Big Madam has to say, yes, I will let Aduni leave because Aduni is her slave.
Indeed, and of course, there's a rumor later there was this former maid by the name of Rebecca, and she vanished, and people say, well, she just ran away with her boyfriend. That's why she disappeared. But maybe Aduni doesn't really believe that. Her disappearance grips her. She is really concerned about this particular situation, and she resolves to uncover the truth. She wants to find out what happened to Rebecca, and that's where we left off. So now let's continue with the next part of our summary in today's lesson. We will listen first.
One night, Big Daddy enters Aduni's room and tries to rape her, but Big Madam catches him. The couple fights, and Big Madam throws him out. With everything exposed, Aduni tells Big Madam she found a letter that afternoon. In it, Rebecca confesses that Big Daddy had impregnated her. Aduni believes Rebecca has been murdered and pleads with Big Madam to call the police. Days later, Miss Tia tells Aduni she has secured the scholarship. She asks Big Madam for Aduni's freedom, but Big Madam demands a talk with Aduni first. She discloses that Big Daddy gave Rebecca a drug to cause a miscarriage. Afterwards, Big Madam took Rebecca to a doctor, gave her money, and told her to leave and never return. Big Madam then tears up Rebecca's letter and allows Aduni to go on condition of secrecy. Aduni departs with Miss Tia, ready to begin her new life and let her voice be heard. Okay, guys, let's dive in. This is part two of our lesson today. So one night, Big Daddy enters Aduni's room and tries to rape her, but Big Madam catches him. Ooh, I can't imagine. That must have been a huge fight. I was telling Tom during the break that I picture Big Madam being a very large, tall, strong woman.
Like a Soviet Union woman or something.
Scary. And then Big Daddy being this little skinny guy who, you know, talks tough, but Big Madam can beat him up. Well, the couple actually fights, and Big Madam throws him out of the house. So, see, my theory proved true there.
Indeed. So, yeah, she's stronger, and she has the power to throw him out of the house. I guess he becomes homeless at that particular point or goes to live with relatives or something like that. And with everything exposed, Aduni tells Big Madam she found a letter that afternoon. Okay, so we all know now that Big Daddy is a rapist. He tries to rape Aduni. And, yeah, Big Madam doesn't really like that. I'm not sure if she was protecting Aduni or if she was just mad at her husband.
I think she's just mad at her husband.
Yeah, because he was hitting on somebody else here. But, yeah, Aduni found a letter that afternoon, so she tells Big Madam about that. And in it, in the letter, Rebecca confesses that Big Daddy had impregnated her. Okay, so this is a letter written by Rebecca, and she confesses something. If you confess something, you admit that you did something. Usually it's something you did wrong or it's something that you've been accused of. Yeah, you must confess to the crime. You're the person who killed that other person. Okay, I confess. I admit I did it. Sometimes, of course, confessions can be forced.
Yeah.
But here Rebecca confesses. She reveals the truth here. Big Daddy, the rapist, had impregnated her. And if you impregnate someone, you just make them pregnant, so they're going to have a baby later on.
Yeah, so Aduni believes Rebecca has been murdered and pleads with Big Madam to call the police. If you plead with someone, it's similar to like urge, but plead, I think, has more of an emotional angle to it. Please, please do this. So you're there to actually make a really emotional plea or an appeal to someone to do something. She pleads with Big Madam to call the police. You know, if I thought that somebody had been murdered by Big Daddy, I would do the same. But she's pretty brave, even with Big Madam, who doesn't treat her very well. Remember, she abuses her physically and mentally. We found that out in the earlier lesson. She still is such a good person inside. She feels like if we find out the truth and this person has been murdered, we need to tell somebody. We need to have justice. So she wants Big Madam to call the police. So days later, Ms. Tia tells Aduni, good news, she secured the scholarship, which just means she won the scholarship. Out of all the applicants, she got the scholarship, and this is going to change her life.
Right, okay, so Aduni's future looks pretty bright here, and she asks Big Madam for Aduni's freedom. Okay, so Ms. Tia asks Big Madam, hey, can you let Aduni go? I mean, she's kind of wasting her life being a domestic servant here. She should go off to school and do better things in her life, and not only for herself, but maybe for society as well.
Yeah.
And Big Madam kind of thinks about this, and, well, she demands a talk with Aduni first. So before I grant her this freedom, I need to talk to her first. And I guess it's kind of a confession here. She discloses that Big Daddy gave Rebecca a drug to cause a miscarriage, okay? So this is maybe a family secret or something, and if it gets out, the family's reputation will be damaged. But she discloses this to Aduni. To disclose just means to reveal a secret, to tell somebody something that is usually a secret. So mm-hmm. She discloses this. Yeah, Big Daddy actually impregnated her, yes, but he also gave her a drug to cause a miscarriage. Miscarriage, of course, is when a pregnant woman loses the baby. It's not an abortion. It's when she loses the baby for natural reasons.
Yeah, of course, this drug isn't really natural, but it did cause the baby to die. And so that's a miscarriage. So afterwards, Big Madam took Rebecca to a doctor. So I think at this point, you can imagine Big Madam telling Aduni the whole story, right?
Mm.
Because she had that letter, she found the letter, and so Big Madam kind of has to, be honest about what really happened. So she took Rebecca to a doctor at that point. It's horrible to go through a miscarriage. It's not easy. So she was there seeing a doctor, which was a good thing. Big Madam tried to help Rebecca by taking her to a doctor, and then Big Madam gave her money and told her to leave and never return. Because what Rebecca could say about Big Daddy would affect the whole household.
Indeed. She probably doesn't like him. She threw him out of the house, but still she does not want this family secret to get out. So again, that's what happened to Rebecca. She had that miscarriage. And then, of course, Big Madam took her to the doctor. She gave her some money and then said, Rebecca, you have to leave and you can't come back. And then Big Madam tears up Rebecca's letter. So, yeah, here the letter has some information that could be incriminating to the family. It could damage their reputation. So she tears up the letter. She's destroying the evidence here. And then she allows Aduni to go on condition of secrecy. So, yeah, this is one condition I have for you. Yes, I'll let you go pursue that scholarship to pursue your education, but you have to promise you won't tell anybody about this situation regarding Big Daddy and Rebecca.
Yeah, so after all that she's been through, it sounds like she's finally going to get into a situation that will be positive for her. So, yeah, She does tear up Rebecca's letter. Big Madam doesn't want any evidence whatsoever to be around of what her big daddy, her husband, did. And she does allow Aduni to go with Miss Tia. And they leave together. So Aduni actually gets to go with Miss Tia at that moment. I wonder if Miss Tia kind of takes care of her. I don't know if the scholarship includes, like, housing, you know, room and board is what we would call a scholarship. Sometimes the scholarship just pays for tuition fees. It doesn't include your living costs. You have to have a place to live, right? And you have to have money for food. Maybe it's Miss Tia that provides a room and board for her. We don't know. You might find out in the book, though, if you get the book. And she leaves with her scholarship referee. I would kind of call her a savior.
Maybe she helped, a sponsor or something?
She could be a sponsor, yeah. She leaves with Miss Tia and she's ready to begin her new life and let her voice be heard. I don't think she's going to be afraid to speak up in the future when she sees things she doesn't think are right.
Indeed, and hopefully she will have that voice to speak her mind. Of course, Nigeria has lots of problems with the terrorism. Boko Haram, of course, is still very active there in Nigeria. Hopefully she won't be silenced. And I think this novel was kind of based on the factual information. The writer, of course, knows all about this situation and has probably seen lots of situations that reflect this reality in Nigeria. So, yeah, it's kind of a work of fiction, but also a work of nonfiction in a sort of way.
Yeah, it's kind of historical fiction, maybe you could say. So a lot of authors, though, get their ideas from their own life experiences. Maybe some of this has something to do with either our author or maybe a close friend or relative. We don't know. So it's something that I'm curious about, though. I'm going to go look her up and see if she says any more about how she came up with this plot. It's very interesting.
And, of course, we, kind of spoiled the plot for you. But, of course, the author here has written other novels that are probably equally as interesting. And you can check those out as well. This, of course, is not in the public domain, so you're probably not going to find a free copy of this book. But who knows? Maybe you can check it out from your local library. If you're interested, it's probably worth a read. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Let's say farewell in just a couple of seconds after we hear from our Chinese teacher.
第三段的第三个句子，好，请大家看到这边 ,with everything exposed, with 后面的动词，请大家切记不要用原形啊。好，那这里呢加的是 ED, 表示呢被暴露出来了，这也算是补充说明背景资讯，就是后来什么事情呢都被曝光了以后 Aduni、就告诉这个 Big Madam 他的发现。好，那原来他发现了 Rebecca 所留下来的一封信，这封信里面 Rebecca confesses。 好，这里的 confess 指的呢是坦诚承认的意思，在这个语境当中等于是他把一件秘密说出来，本来呢他觉得难以启齿。好，那 confess 还有呢一般的用法嘛，在这里呢所指的当然他觉得因为他受到性侵害，所以呢怀了 Big Daddy 的小孩，这边讲到 impregnated 所指的就是 Big Daddy 让他怀孕了。那 confess 其实还有其他的用法，包括呢就是认罪，就是 the suspect confess to the robbery。 那比方说就嫌疑犯呢他承认哦他有抢劫。好，那再来我们看到第五个句子，请同学看到的是这个 Aduni, 然后一直到 and 后面这里有一个 please with Aduni 呢，他求谁啊，他求 Big Madam。 Plea 表示呢恳求苦苦哀求，那这个比一般我们讲 ask request 呢程度都还强度还要更强，那表示呢他真的就是苦苦的哀求了。好，那我们看到这个字怎么用啊，你可以说 plead with 什么对象，那请他做什么事，那我们可以说 to do something。 那所以呢这里等于是 Aduni 呢求这个 Big Madam 能够呢报警。再来我们看到第四段，第四段呢第一个句子，这里呢 secure 是指取得获得，再来第三个句子 discloses 这个动词呢所指的是揭露，那后面的 miscarriage 是流产。那请特别注意的是第四个句子，诶， 有点奇怪哦，前面后面的句子都是用现在式，为什么第四个句子是用过去式呢？啊，因为哦，一般而言我们用现在式的时候哦，在描述小说情节的时候，主要的目的是要让故事听起来更及时，更有戏剧性。那第四句这里哦，用到过去式，主要是因为这边是属于 Big Madam 他坦诚的内容，所以呢，这些事情发生的更早，所以用了过去式。那再来，请同学看到第五个句子的 on condition of 所表示用什么来当作条件。好，以上就是我们针对这个部分所做的中文讲解。See you next time.
That's all the time we have for today, guys. But we have one remaining show we're going to talk about. The author herself and maybe why she came up with some of these things. It's going to be interesting, I'm sure, for all of us to learn more about this author. Remember, this book is fairly new. It was published in 2020. So we hope you'll join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.